Hallelujah. Who is like unto our God? Nobody. Nobody. They try to imitate. They try to copy. But there is no one like our God. Amen. Amen. All right. So this morning, we talked about following the ancient paths and moving out of the place of preference back to the place of doctrine. And the thing is that you're going to listen to this message and go, how do the two work together? And they do. So I'll probably reveal it and so make sure y'all know how it works. But this is the prophetic word that God has given to me specifically for 2024 in terms of if you follow those ancient paths, this is why. This is what this year is going to be. So let's pray. Father God, in the name of Jesus, Lord God, I thank you. I thank you for being who you are, Lord God. I thank you that you are faithful to your word. Where two or three are gathered together in your name, there you shall be in the midst. You all up and through the middle of all this today. So Lord God, I pray you anoint my words, Lord God. Give my body energy to release this word that you have called for me to release in this season and over this upcoming year. And God, we give you glory and praise. In Jesus' name, amen. The title of my message tonight is It's Not a Flutter, It's a Kick. See, y'all look at me like I'm crazy. I would have ran. It's not a flutter. It's a kick. So we're going to go back to a text that actually Pastor Gene preached from at the beginning of the month. We're going to go to the book of Luke. We're going to go to Luke 1, starting at the 5th verse. And we're going to talk about a man that I noticed doesn't really get a lot of attention, especially in the nativity narrative. We're going to talk about Jesus' cousin, John the Baptist. We're going to talk about him today. Luke 1, starting at the 5th verse. Luke is the 4th of the Synoptic Gospels. It's the only one that's a two-parter. Amen. Because after you read Luke, you're supposed to read Acts, because that's part two, because he had to tell more stuff to Theophilus, because Theophilus needs to learn some things. Amen. Shout out to Theo at home. Hallelujah. So in the days of King Herod, I'm reading from the Christian Standard, of Judea, there was a priest of Abijah's division named Zechariah. His wife was from the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. Both were righteous in God's sight, living without blame according to the commands and requirements of the Lord. But they had no children because Elizabeth could not conceive, and both of them were well along in years. When his division was on duty and he was serving as a priest before God, it happened that he was chosen by lot, according to the custom of the priesthood, to enter the sanctuary of the Lord and burn incense. At the hour of incense, the whole assembly of the people was praying outside. An angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing to the right of the altar of incense. When Zechariah saw him, he was terrified. I'll be terrified too. And overcome with fear. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah, because your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you will name him John. There will be joy and delight for you, and many will rejoice at his birth. For he will be great in the sight of the Lord, and will never drink wine or beer. He will be filled with the Holy Spirit while still in his mother's womb. He will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God. He will go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah, to turn the hearts of the fathers to their children, and the disobedient to the understanding of the righteous, to make ready for the Lord a prepared people." "How can I know this?" Zechariah asked the angel. "For I am an old man, and my wife is well along in years." The angel answered him, "I am Gabriel, who stands in the presence of God, and I was sent to speak to you and tell you this good news. Now listen, you will become silent and unable to speak until the day these things take place, because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in the proper time." Jump down to verse 39. "In those days, Mary set out and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judah, where she entered Zechariah's house and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped inside her. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. You can be seated. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word. So, John the Baptist and Jesus were 6 months apart. So, for a baby to be able to leap and you feel it, he had to be at least, he had to be at least 6 months in the belly. And I'm like, God, why are you telling me to release this word? Like, if you align to me, I'm calling, this year is going to be the year of the forerunner. The year of the forerunner. Because God is preparing a people to prepare them, to prepare the world for the coming of Jesus Christ. What a forerunner does is that they go through the struggle. They have to deal with the hard soil. They have to dig and plow to create the road for everyone else to follow. So John's created purpose was to literally prepare people for the way of the Lord. When John in his womb sensed Jesus' presence, and he began to rejoice. Now, there are some things that God has been calling us to do, that he's been speaking about, that he's been having conversations with you while you're sleeping, that when you're driving down the road, these random thoughts come to you and God is giving you a vision. And I'm telling you now, that baby's in utero. It's kicking. Lately, we've been being in this space. I praise God and thank God that we're in this space because it's given me an ability to rest. I haven't had a chance to really rest in about 6 years. But in this time, God has been speaking to me about what the next phase is. God's like, this is not going to be the permanent spot. This is only temporary. And I'm going to release you to do something uncanny. And it's constantly being confirmed what God is calling for us to do. And it's interesting when I look at my wife and go, house church? She goes, house church. And we're both on the same page. She looked at me shocked. And then while I was, a friend of mine said, oh, we got all this building, all this other stuff, and I was getting mad. God's like, why you get mad when what I have for you to what I have for you is not a monument or a monolith? It's a kick. It's a reminder of what God is calling for us to do in this season. Go to Matthew 3. This is the core of what the message is going to be today. Matthew 3, we're going to go from the top, from verse 1 all the way to verse 12. And the word says this: in those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, repent, because the kingdom of heaven has come near. For he is the one spoken of through the prophet Isaiah, who said, a voice of one crying out in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord, make his paths what? Straight. Now John had a camel hair garment with a leather belt around his waist, and his food was locusts and wild honey. Then people from Jerusalem, all Judea, and all the vicinity of the Jordan River were going out to him, and they were baptized by him in the Jordan River, confessing their sins. When he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming to his baptism, he said to them, brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the coming wrath? Therefore, produce first fruit consistent with repentance, and don't presume to say to yourself, we have Abraham. Thank you. We have Abraham as our father. For I tell you that God is able to raise up children for Abraham from these stones. The axe is already at the root of the trees. Therefore, every tree that doesn't produce good fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire. I baptize you with water for repentance. But the one who is coming after me is more powerful than I. I am not worthy to remove his sandals. He himself will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing shovel is in his hand, and he will clear his threshing floor and gather his wheat into the barn. But the chaff he will burn with fire that never goes out. If you read on in the chapter, what he prophesied walks up, which is Jesus. So let's talk about how this morning and this moment connect. To be able to be a forerunner, to fulfill that thing that God is birthing on the inside of you in this season, you have to make sure that you are walking in a life which is holy and righteous. What I mean by holiness and righteousness is that we talked about doctrine, that you are aligning your life with the Word of God. That every decision that you make going forward is tested by the Word of God. Every action that you make follows the Word of God, not your interpretation, not what someone said to you 15, 20 years ago. It's what the Word is saying now to you. We're told by Jesus, be holy, for I am what? Holy. So you have to look at John the Baptist, and Pastor Trey just going to bless you, so it's going to confirm what you're doing right now. That John the Baptist was living a holy and a sanctified life, but you notice that he was not in the temple at all. As the son of Zechariah, his final dwelling, his final result based on family tradition was to be in the temple like his daddy. But instead, God called him to the wilderness. God said, you about to look crazy. Instead of wearing the white robes in the ephod, he wore camel skin garments and was eating locusts for breakfast, less than dinner. And he walked up to the honeycomb and grabbed the honey. And the people began to come to him. And he was doing what Jesus was going to do. So that way, when Jesus came, y'all ain't catching this. When Jesus came, there was already a remnant established to be able to fulfill the mission of Christ. That's why he didn't just squirm in his mother's belly. He kicked. He leaped because it affirmed from his mother's womb what he was called to do. In this season, in this time that we're walking into, it doesn't matter how many people are in this building. It doesn't matter who paying tithes, who not paying tithes. If they're not going to come to us, we about to go to them. Because there is a world seeking a relationship with God. And here's the reality of the situation. Those of us who are holding on to this word, who understand to follow the ancient path, are going to be some of the people that will be very shunned by the very establishment which is called the church. If John the Baptist walked in the temple looking crazy like he did, he would not have been received. Because there is a people. That thing beeping, it's all right, I'm good. I'm good, I'm just far. That there is a people that God is looking for, who desire to walk in covenant with him, who may never walk into a church building, who may never wear a three-piece suit, who may never hold a mic and stand on a platform and stand on a stage and preach, but they have God's heart. They are willing to live holy and righteous. They are willing to be workers in the vineyard. They are willing to pray and seek the face of God. They will willingly push back the plate. If they got to stay up all night and pray, they're willing to stay up all night and pray. But they're in the wilderness because that's where the people are. That's where the refuge has to be, because the temple, the church, has caused so much pain. So that thing that God's been telling you that sounds completely crazy, I would stay on that road. I will ride that car out until God says stop. Because we can no longer have church as usual. We can no longer make, because what has happened is that we have made the gathering of the saints a show. If you look at early church setup, that it was not this group of people looking at me or looking at whoever's up here. Instead, we were seated at tables. We were seated in circles. It wasn't organized. It looked kind of messy. But we were all able to be together. But as I said this morning, we have people who are creating idols out of these experiences rather than teaching the word of God. We need people in 2024 to be willing to say what thus saith the Lord. It is our job to bring people to the knowledge of Christ, and those who say have the knowledge of Christ, call them to account. Because we have a lot of false gods running up and through the church. We have become the very thing we have been taught to hate. We have become the Pharisees and the Sadducees. That we take responsibilities over anointing. We're so focused on keeping our job that we are not willing to do what God is calling you to do in the moment. There's a lot of pastors, and I'm almost done. There are a lot of pastor groups that I'm in, and they're talking about, well, I'm going to have to go get a job now. I have to go, you know, work a 9-to-5 because, you know, the church can't afford my salary. Good. Wonderful. I love it. I seriously do. I do more ministry at work than I do in the church. I want you to think about that. I do more ministry in my office, in the cafeteria. Folks be blowing, these students be blowing up my phone. Because they need God. People were willing to leave the city walls and go out to the wilderness to see this crazy looking who was talking about, you think you, if you can't handle me, you really can't handle what's about to come. If you can't handle me, establishment, you will not be able to handle what's coming next. If you can't deal with me, I'm outside the city walls. Why are you bothering me? If you can't handle me outside the walls, just wait for the sequel in the walls. I'm just a prequel. I'm the one. I'm setting up the plot for the next movie. You're not going to be able to handle him in the walls. God is birthing something beautiful within the ministries that are represented here. And I'm going to encourage all of us in this room today. And there's not a lot of us. You know what? That's all right. The average size of a church in America is 80 people anyway. The majority of churches in America are less than 100 people. Did y'all know that? We think every church that makes, no. The majority of churches in America are 80 people or less. So why are we trying to copy a model that's the minority? Why are we gotta do all this stuff to make ourselves big? God has called you and equipped you for who he's called you and equipped you to. And at this point, I'm like, if God has called me and equipped me to a camera, guess what? If I could do it in 2020, I'm doing it again. If God has equipped me to bounce around to these churches and help out their pastors and minister and do whatever, that's fine. Because it's abnormal. It's fine. Because I'd rather be John the Baptist and live out my call and look crazy than be the Pharisees and the Sadducees who have the same responsibility in terms of the spiritual realm but sold themselves out because of the occupiers. Who sold themselves out because they wanted to please the government. Who sold themselves out because they didn't want to lose the customs. They just wanted some sway. They wanted some power. They wanted something. Look, read it. Read it. Read it up. Read it up. We're seeing it today in the church right now. Because the Pharisees and the Sadducees were not just the religious leaders. They were the political leaders. They were the Republicans and the Democrats. What you're experiencing is not a little flutter. It's kicking. Forerunner. Preparer of the way. That vision that God is giving you is kicking. It's about to be birthed out. For some of y'all, y'all at the point, like, you know, when people get pregnant, they do the waddle like this. You're waddling and you're uncomfortable. Good. The Holy Spirit said that he is a comforter. That means he's a protector. He doesn't promote stagnation. So while he's comforting you, you are uncomfortable. Your back hurt, your knees hurt, can't lay down right, can't get sleep, because no matter how you position yourself, you just, either way, you're going to end up just, it's uncomfortable, because what God has given you is about to be birthed forth. What God is calling you to is about to be birthed forth. But only if you let God do it. And most people just be like shouting, woo-hoo! But then they go home and don't let God do it. Why didn't the word come back? Because you didn't partner with it. God ain't going to fail. God don't lie. You just didn't believe it. Zachariah, oh, you want to laugh and not believe me? Fine. Mute challenge. Can't say a word. The next thing you said after that, months later, was his name is John. Because he finally caught a hold of what God was telling him to do. For this year, I'm going to be honest with you, we have suffered a lot. We have been through much. I know for True Vision, we went from having a building to having an office to having nothing. And now we're here. This was not on my bingo card for 2023. This actually wasn't on my bingo card at all. We were actually going to merge with another church. God shut that down real quick. So clearly we're here for a reason. I don't know what the reason is. I don't know. I know it's not a permanent thing, but I've been asking God, and God been like, you'll figure it out. But while here, God is kicking us into something new and great. That when the time comes, and it's time for us to all three churches to go their ways again. And the thing is, when that happens, a whole lot of people in the city are going to be talking, I knew they couldn't work out. You know, you got their dad, and you got the kids, you got their blah, blah, blah. There's a difference between controversy and release. We all came together with this understanding that this is not permanent. But I believe that God is, that when that time comes, we will be stronger because of it. And for me, God has taken the foundation of True Vision and is now birthing a new baby out of it. I'm just going to go ahead and tell you. Bishop, I hope you're watching. So that thing is like, you're far. I'm alive. Okay. We're changing the name of True Vision. It's going to be a complete overhaul. It's something I've been praying about for 2 years. That's kind of where this title came from. This thing had been stirring in my spirit. But then when I found out that Judah was closing, I think my mic might die. When I found out that Judah was closing, God said, pap, do it. In fact, I look back at messages I have been preaching for the past 2 years. And then there are chunks of messages that are actually preparing us for this moment, and I didn't know. So the baby went from a cell to a little embryo, little fetus. I was like, nah. Now I'm at the point of, okay, God, we need to birth this baby. So as of March, True Vision Christian Community is going to shift into Revision House. Revision House. Revision means to see again, to see with new eyes. That's the core of what Christianity is. Seeing as God sees, loving as God loves, being a culture of sharers, equipping people to their purpose. Revision House. Because God, I don't know about y'all, God's called me to prepare a way. God's called all of us to prepare the way. And it's always those in the fringes, always those in the wilderness, those that people think, I don't know why they're doing that. God is calling us for this moment, for such a time as this, to bring people back to the foundation, to the heart of God. Again, these two messages connect back to the heart of God. That way we may prepare the way for the second coming of Jesus Christ. It might not be in our lifetime, but I'd rather pave the way for my great-grandchildren to get caught up than to move as business as usual. Amen? That's the word. Let's give God praise.